What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday nights get wasted with me, Josh Hadley, the cat.
Hello.
No Charlie this week. He said, barring the end of the world, he was not going to be able to leave work early tonight. But I do want to mention something real quick. He lives in Colorado. Kat, are you familiar with a website called The Daily Current?
I have heard of it, yes. I think I've probably read something from it.
You know it's a satire website, a la The Onion, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. When marijuana became legal on January 1st in Colorado...
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm so happy we're talking about this.
You saw the story, too, about... They ran a clear satire story about how 37 deaths were attributed to marijuana overdoses the first day it became legal in Colorado, right?
Yeah. I saw links for it. I didn't know people actually believed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, my God, that's
great. There were people legitimately ranting about it. Some Christian and right-wing websites were posting it as if it were real, and then they were riling up all their people about it. It was sickeningly funny.
Oh, my God. The best one of those that I've seen, I saw today, and it was an article about how Bigfoot died smoking marijuana.
This is what's wrong with evolution. But I just wanted to mention that since Charlie's from Colorado and he's a pothead, that I think it's just kind of funny that a lot of people got taken for this. Now, to be fair, I got taken by the Daily Current once because the first time I encountered them, I did not know they were satire. I got taken for them once and I admitted it on the show that, yeah, that thing we reported last week, yeah, that wasn't true. we kind of fucked up on that account. That was on us.
Oops, our bad.
That's not really dumbest thing.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Kat, you've got a brain. I've got a brain. We all have brains. Doesn't mean we all use them, does it?
No, definitely not.
A 21-year-old suspect was trying to sell stolen brains from a museum in Indiana at a Dairy Queen. This is after he tried to put them on eBay.
Wow, you really can buy anything on the internet.
No, you can't. Yeah, that's why he had to sell them at the Dairy Queen, because you couldn't sell them on eBay.
I bet you could sell them somewhere else. But yeah, not on eBay, because there's like laws and stuff.
The reason that this is the dumbest thing, what would possess this man to steal 60 brains from the Indiana Medical History Museum and think, these have value, these have bootleg value, these have underground value?
That's somebody who watches all those crime shows and knows that there's like black market organ dealers, and then he just grabs whatever he can and then is like, I'm gonna make so much money.
He does know brain transplants aren't real, right? That only happens in science fiction movies.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Because it's just, I wish I could say we were making this up, but you steal 60 brains. And then I'm going to sell them at, of all places, the Dairy Queen.
I think what kills me is that it's 60 brains, and you know they've got to be in like big jars and stuff. And like, I'm sitting here trying to work out the logistics of how did he steal 60 of them, and how did he transport them, and like, did he stop at 60? Was there more he could have taken? Or was like, did he just clear out all the shelves of their brains?
After he tried to unsuccessfully put them on eBay, eBay contacted his local police. The buyer at Dairy Queen was the cop. They stung this man for stealing the brains and trying to sell the brains.
How do you not get suspicious? If you're trying to sell something, if you're trying to move illegal merchandise, and somebody's like, yeah, I want to meet up at Dairy Queen, how do you not go, well, that's odd. Maybe I shouldn't do this.
And by the way, all of the brains that he stole are from the 1890s. I'm just thinking...
Now, that brain that you gave me, was it Hans Delbrück's? No. Ah. Good. Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby someone. Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
That's my favorite brain.
So I just thought that was a perfect dumbest thing, because, boy, not thinking something through really makes a double meaning when you're stealing brains, doesn't it?
Yeah, if I only had a brain. Oh my god.
Let's move on from that to something also pretty brainless. We just encountered this before recording tonight. I don't live in Maine. You don't live in Maine. But apparently Eric Bennett is running against incumbent Susan Collins in Maine's senatorial election next year. And he is claiming that because he was convicted of beating his wife, that makes him brave enough to stand up for family values.
Wow. This guy is a certain level of special.
Exactly, because he claims his wife lied about him beating her, and that he has never admitted it, he has never backed down, even though he went through all of his appeals and they found there was evidence to support the claim. He spent time in jail, and he says, the fact that I never backed off my claim of innocence proves I have what it takes to fight for family values in this state. Explain this to me from a female perspective. How does he think he's going to win votes by going, I'm a convicted wife beater, but I swear I didn't do it?
Well, I guess he's really just trying not to win the female vote. What's sad is that there are probably a lot of male Republicans that will actually make them vote for him. That's why I think it's really sad. I don't know what his issue is. I mean, obviously, like, I'm sure if this wasn't, like, public knowledge, he would never say this sort of thing. And I'm sure he's just answering questions that people have brought up to him about his past, which, you know, is going to happen if you're running for anything. But man, this was very poorly handled. But I don't know how you could spin that. How would a politician spin being a convicted wife beater and make that sound good? How?
I do. I'm going to quote the man. Quoting, the fact that I have been jailed repeatedly, for not agreeing to admit to something I didn't do should speak to the fact of how much guts and integrity I have. If I go to D.C., I'm going to have that same integrity in doing what I say and saying what I do when it comes to protecting people's rights as well as their pocketbooks. Unquote.
As long as it's not my wife's right to not be beaten.
I'll use his own words to say that's how he's going to spin it, Kat.
It's just so thin. How does he honestly think that he's going to get elected when he's basically saying, yeah, I've been arrested a bunch of times for beating my wife, but I swear I didn't do it.
But this is also the same Republican Party, the war on women. They've rolled back women's rights how many times? Hell, in New Hampshire, they tried to roll back laws that would allow you to have a certain level of domestic abuse against your wife, quote, if she deserved it. Georgia Republicans have attempted to stop using the word victim when it comes to rape and start using the word accuser.
Because victim blaming and victim shaming are so much easier than a man being in trouble.
And now, let's be fair. False accusations of rape and domestic abuse do happen. Not as often as the real stuff does, though. But just to be fair, we gotta say, every woman who claims this is not telling the truth. Probably about 95% of them are, though. But I'm just saying, for the sake of equality, we need to state that as well.
Right. Exactly. I mean, yeah. Let's be fair.
There is an outside chance that Bennett is telling the truth. I don't believe it. The fact that he's been convicted multiple times and used up all his appeals, I'm gonna tend to go, he probably did it.
He also had multiple witnesses too. It's not like a he said, she said thing. There were actually other people involved in these cases.
But let's move on from that, because there's really not much more we can say about that, to the homeless. Let's go back down south, Kat. South Carolina, Columbia specifically. Well, the city council in Columbia recently voted unanimously, I will add, to outlaw being homeless in Columbia. That if you're homeless, because it's totally your fault if that happens, right?
That's totally, okay. Getting away from who's to blame, that's not even a manageable law. The enforcement of that would be so difficult. Like, it's impossible. It would just be impossible.
And there's also an unforeseen, strange side effect. Because if you're determined to be homeless, you get arrested you can either get arrested or get out. If you choose to be arrested, now all of a sudden you're warm, have three meals a day, you have access to television and video games and the internet. In a weird way, being arrested might actually benefit some of these people. As sick as that might sound, doesn't it?
No, that's a really, for a lot of people who are in bad situations, there is a greater incentive to be in prison than to be on the street. You are oftentimes safer and in a better environment in prison in terms of having food, shelter, and clothing than you are on the street. So absolutely, this is why this is like not a manageable law, because prison systems in this country are already insane. We spend so much money on it. And now they're basically saying, we're going to jail homeless people for being homeless. We're going to have to spend that much more money on prisons to house all of these people. And we could potentially see the problem of, okay, prisons are probably already overcrowded. Now we're going to have even more overcrowding, which leads to, I don't know, maybe we have to take some people out of prison. Who are we going to take out of prison? How do we decide who gets out of prison? You know, it's so freaking complicated.
They weren't thinking that far ahead. I think they were thinking, well, people don't want to be arrested. Who wants to be arrested? So the people will go away. And it's more of this, like, not in my backyard, or NIMBY, as George Carlin put it, not in my backyard, that if we criminalize homeless people in Colombia, then they'll go somewhere else and they'll become someone else's problem. Let them deal with these homeless people. The city council even set up a fucking hotline that people can anonymously report homeless people to. I'm quoting here, a hotline will be set up for passerbys to report a homeless person that needs to be removed. Basically, what they're saying is these people are a cancer on our great city. They should be someone else's problem. This infuriates me because instead of going to the source of the problem, which the Columbia City Council kind of created their own homeless problem by having such a bad economy that businesses left the area, which then caused people to lose their jobs to then become homeless because they helped bail out some of the local banks. Then they're saying, well, even though we caused you to be homeless, you being homeless is illegal. Get the fuck out. Isn't this an Ouroboros? Isn't this a snake eating its own tail?
It is. I find this huge gap in logic. And how do they think that all of these homeless people who don't have money or cars or homes, how do they think they're going to get out of the city? So crazy. And then you've got hotlines. So the hotlines relies on the idea that the average American cares enough about the homeless to report them. Now, there are times if you're getting hassled by somebody begging for change, then, hey, you know, maybe you feel in danger and maybe you want to call somebody to have them reported and have them removed from that area. But don't most of the time people just like walk by the homeless and they don't really give a shit.
Exactly.
And as long as that homeless person isn't bothering anybody, we just walk right on by. So how are they going to enforce the idea of people calling the hotline? You have to get people to care first. And we don't live in a country where that's very easy.
It's estimated at the time we're recording this, there are 1,621 homeless people living in Colombia or its surrounding areas. That's a shockingly high number right there. I would have thought a couple of hundred, not over 1,500.
Wow. That is a lot of people.
That is a lot of people that they're saying, get out. But it makes you also ask the question, Kat, why? Why all of a sudden, you know what? There's drugs in our town. We've completely tanked our own economy. There is police corruption. There was a police corruption scandal just last year. Homeless. That's the problem we need to solve. That we need to get get this slime off of our streets, right? That is the thing we should focus on, right?
It's really easy to blame the homeless for different problems. It's not to bring up too much history, but it's sort of like blaming everything on the Jews. It's just so easy to blame them, and people will just sort of snap in and respond, hey, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe we can't blame it all on the homeless people. And it's a cosmetic problem. And I think people respond very quickly to cosmetic problems because it looks bad. it makes your city look bad to have homeless people on the street. So it's sort of this idea that if you don't have filthy streets crowded with homeless people, then maybe things are better in your city than they really are.
So it's basically fooling yourself.
Yeah, it really is. It's very deceptive to the public. And I think it's, I don't know how bad the situation really is, but in all honesty, if there's got to be better ways for those lawmakers to be spending their time and money. I almost want to say it's a waste of the people's time. I don't know how bad the situation really is. I mean, maybe the situation is really terrible and that there is a huge correlation of crime, but the article that we read really doesn't say anything about it. So, like, it just sort of seems like they're choosing a small battle to fight and try and win so that they look like they've accomplished something.
There's also the angle that they would not allow a homeless shelter to be within the city limits because they were afraid that it would attract homeless people. Instead of removing them from being homeless, giving them a place where they are off the streets, which is kind of the point of a homeless shelter, right?
Right.
They thought it would have the surrounding areas that don't have homeless shelters go, I'll go to Columbia. Then I've got a place to sleep. So they thought, well, we can't have a homeless shelter here, or it'll just make the situation worse. That's some evil, backhanded thinking, isn't it?
It really sounds like they're trying to quote unquote solve the homeless problem while putting in as little actual work and definitely as little money as they possibly can.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like plugging their fingers in their ears and going la 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 and trying to pretend like there isn't a problem and pretend that they are actually making an effort to solve it.
Maybe the people in Columbia should vote out everyone on the city council and show them what it's like to be homeless, huh?
Yeah, that would be a nice change. You know, like, see how they like it and then tell them, yeah, you guys can't eat anything today and you're going to have to sleep on some cardboard. Oh, except, no, you're not. Now you're going to have to get out of our city.
And then use the hotline that they set up to report them.
That would be amazing.
So I just think this is one of the most vile things I've seen a local government do in a while. The part that gets me the most is this whole, it's someone else's problem. That's my words. They didn't say that. My words, but that's essentially what they're doing. That go to some neighboring community where you're not bothering us. You're their problem now. That is not a way to solve a problem. That's a way to give the illusion of solving a problem. Well, in fact, you're exacerbating it.
Yeah, they solve nothing. And they do it with doing as little as possible and try and, like, pretend like they're doing anything. And it's disgusting.
Well, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why copyright is bullshit. We'll be right back.
All right, guys. You've probably figured out within the last couple of seconds that my voice sounds like utter shit. That's because I'm not at home. But my mother had some surgery, so I'm here taking care of her. I'm cleaning up the house and getting it ready to bring her back from the hospital. So we're not going to get a full, complete heart attack segment, because frankly, we recorded the hour-long segment, and you should really listen if you have not heard the hour-long heart attack. This week's is a barn burner with Alex Jowski and obviously with Josh. It's a real fucking barn burner about copyright infringement on YouTube, non-copyright infringement and bullying on YouTube by YouTube. Tune in and you'll hear just how awful this fucking sounds, because can you guys hear it? I mean, Josh, have I dropped out any in the recording of this?
Not that they're going to hear. That's what my job as an editor is for.
Made Josh's life really difficult for putting together the last episode. So we're going to cut it short.
You have not missed an episode since you started, so I wanted to have something from you.
And Josh both are like, well, I'll say it. We're fucking anal about doing our jobs. We're fucking freaks for getting done, motherfuckers. We're Iron Men. Iron Men. We'll get it done. Enjoy your short heart attack.
May I see your driver's license and registration?
Certainly.
What you doing?
Chewing chocolate.
Where'd you get it?
Doggy dropped it.
So, Kat, you, as we've mentioned numerous times, you do the Nerd to the Third podcast. Do you guys copyright that?
You know, I really have nothing to do with that end of it, but I'd like to think that we own our own property stuff, yeah.
Well, how do you feel, before we get into this deeper, how do you feel about the current copyright law as it stands, that basically you have 130 years from the date of creation, i.e. longer than you will be alive, that your work will remain under copyright?
It's sort of weird, because I don't really feel like for me that that's a big deal. But there are some things that, hey, maybe they need that. You know, like maybe it's better for some people than others. Like my podcast, for example, will never need to be copyrighted for 130 years because it won't even be relevant in 6 months, you know? But if something, some masterful work were made that whose legacy will live on, I don't know, maybe that would be important to somebody else. I think 130 years is kind of killing it.
Do you not see that there is sort of a bias towards the corporations rather than the creators? Because the way copyright law sat until 1978 was basically you had 57 years. How they came to the random number of 57, I don't know. But you had 57 years from the date of creation to make money off your product, and then after that it belonged to everybody. Well, then in 1978, Disney found that Mickey Mouse is about to fall into the public domain. We cannot let this happen or our company will be destroyed. So they got it renewed and renewed and renewed, and right now it stands at the 130 years. Do you not see that that is biased towards the companies and not the creators?
I guess. Well, definitely there are some companies who are going to take more advantage of it than others. Definitely there is a bias towards the companies, since in 130 years, the creators of whatever it is are going to be dead anyway.
That's kind of my point. That was why the 57 years is not unreasonable. Let's say you create something when you're 20 years old. It'll become public domain right around the time you're dying. Fair enough. But 130 years, that the people who created, say, the Universal monster flicks from the 1930s, they're not even alive anymore, and Universal's going, ours, 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 ours. Is that right? Not in the legal sense, in the moral sense. That the companies keep getting this extended because they keep buying politicians that keep extending it, all so they don't lose what they had no hand in creating in the first place.
Are they going to keep making money off of it?
Absolutely. That's what Disney is afraid of, that if Mickey Mouse would slip into the public domain, and it wouldn't be the Mickey Mouse that we know. The Mickey Mouse that would slip into the public domain is the Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse. That would be the only version that people would be able to do with whatever they wanted. It comes down to what kind of a product are you putting out? Let's say, for the sake of argument, Mickey Mouse fell into the public domain. Anybody, say the South Park guys, would be able to make their own legitimate Mickey Mouse cartoon. And Disney would be able to make a Mickey Mouse cartoon. Where do you think the public would fall? The people who've been handling Mickey Mouse for the last 70 or so years, or these upstarts that are putting out an inferior product?
Well, certainly not with the inferior product, I would hope.
That's the point. You should protect your copyright by putting out the best damn product you can and not manipulating the law. And the reason that this is relevant right now is if this law had not been changed in 1978, technically it was changed in 76, but wasn't enacted until 78, so I'm using the 78 timestamp there. These are all the works that should have fallen into the public domain at the turn of the year to 2014. Influential works, whether you like them or not, such as Curious George, should be public domain, but it's not.
Oh, Curious George.
Atlas Shrugged should be public domain, but it's not. The Untouchables should be public domain. The big one. This is the one that I'm sure is one of the reasons that they were so afraid. James Bond should have entered the public domain.
Ooh.
Can you imagine how much MGM would be shitting themselves if they were not the only ones that could make James Bond, official James Bond products?
Huh. Because James Bond, I mean, is it the movies or
no,
is it
the literary character? Ian Fleming's original James Bond novel should have entered the public domain, but it won't. It won't until 2053 now. Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Cat in the Hat should have entered the public domain this year. All of the Warner Brothers cartoons, such as What's Opera Doc and whatnot, anything made before 1957 should be in the public domain right now, but it's not. Superman should be in the public domain now, but it's not. Batman, basically all of the iconic DC heroes should be public domain, but they're not. Captain America should be, but now he's not. I mean, the Marvel heroes that we identify with, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Hulk, and all that, they would still have about another 7 or 8 years before they would have entered the public domain if we used the 1978 copyright law, or the pre-1978 copyright law. Movies such as Bridge of the River Kwai, A Farewell to Arms, The Incredible Shrinking Man, the original 310 to Yuma, all the old Universal horror flicks, those should all be public domain. Is it right that they're not, that they're still owned by their companies when they should, by all rights, belong to all of us?
Well, say, so like the Marvel movies, for example, super, or like all the those kind of characters, can they still have their copyright go into public domain even though they're still actively making money off of it?
Yes. If when something falls into the public domain, it just means anyone can use it, and you can copyright your version of it. So the Marvel Comics version of Captain America, for example, would remain the Marvel Comics version, and people wouldn't be able to use that. They'd be able to use the character as originally published by what Marvel used to be, Atlas Comics. They'd be able to use that version, the World War II version, not the version that was thawed out of the ice in Avengers number 4, because that would still be under copyright for another 7 or 8 years. So, you know, it's just like one thing that did fall into the public domain that no matter how much they extended it, it's more than it's too old now, is Sherlock Holmes. The character of Sherlock Holmes entered the public domain this year. Then you get the weird laws by country, such as obviously whoever owns the Beatles catalog in America. I know Michael Jackson did for a while, but I don't know who owned it when he died. They would be terrified of all the Beatles songs falling into public domain, right? Or at least their first album.
Yeah.
They all just entered the public domain in England.
Oh, wow.
In England, all the Beatles' first, I think, two albums are free for anybody to do with as they choose.
I'm thinking about it because this, like, copyright stuff is, like, very much over my head.
Well, what it really boils down to is Universal, Paramount, and Disney are absolutely terrified of what will happen if they no longer exclusively own their iconic characters. I mean, Universal has sued theme parks for using the Bela Lugosi image of Dracula. They have sued schools going, no, 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 the character and the story of Dracula are PD. That version, that look, that's ours. I mean, hell, Godzilla should be public domain. The original Godzilla King of the Monsters, or Gojira, that should be public domain now. The extension to 2053, it's not.
They will sue you.
Oh, Toho is notoriously litigious, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The early Elvis Presley films should be public domain, but they're not now. The first episodes of Leave It to Beaver and Perry Mason should be public domain. All of Elvis Presley's appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show should be public domain. But they're not. And yet, anyone that tries to argue this gets thrown at, but it's the law. Deal with it. They actually use the Obamacare thing. Because, you know, people who hate Obamacare go, it's the law. You have to deal with it. People throw that out for the copyright thing. It's the law. Deal with it. Whining about it's not going to change it.
Well, they're not wrong, technically.
They're technically not. But if we create enough of a fervor about this, I doubt we can get this rolled back. But what's going to happen in another 30 years when Mickey Mouse is getting ready to come into the public domain and people go, and Disney, whatever iteration they're in at that point, goes, no, 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 now it needs to be 200 years. Now it needs to be 250 years. Because what they keep doing is they just keep extending it. This stuff will never enter the public domain at the rate that every time it's about to, they get it extended for a couple of decades.
And I don't think they can't do it forever, though. They really can't.
We're going to be long dead before anything enters the public domain. We'll all be dead.
Okay, so devil's advocate here. What are we missing out on? What are we really missing out on with these things not entering the public domain?
Okay, you being a nerd, you're familiar with the idea of fan films, right?
Yeah.
Let's use the fan film as an analogy.
Okay.
Have you seen, for instance, the Judge Minty film set in the Judge Dredd universe?
No.
It's a really good about 20, 25-minute film set with a side character. They can't make any money off of it. but they had the tacit endorsement of 2000 AD, the people who own the rights to Judge Dredd. Now, if it were public domain, let's say the Judge Dredd universe, the 2000 AD universe, was public domain, anyone would be able to make a film. What you're doing is you're stifling creativity by not allowing that, by going, well, I can only make a Judge Dredd movie if I've got the rights to Judge Dredd. But the rights to Judge Dredd were sold to Sony or Paramount or whoever, and then they're sold to this person, and this person has the reprint rights, and this person has this. You could be cutting off an original, amazing idea that could revitalize the character and break him into the mainstream by not allowing just anyone to do anything with it. Because what that means is doing anything with it means just that. Anyone would be able to make a James Bond movie. Not just MGM, not just the suits that say, no, we need James Bond done like this. It's a way to stifle creativity. That's one of the downsides.
Well, if they were really being creative, wouldn't they be making up their own thing and not reusing something that's already been made?
You could say that, but what if you've got a great idea for a James Bond story rather than a James Bond knockoff story?
Okay. So I guess I can kind of see that, but what about things that, okay, if like just the Steamboat Willie is the only part of Mickey Mouse that's up for public domain, is that like, you know, really, is that a big deal? Because there's like so many other iterations of Mickey Mouse that you can't use. I mean, I guess for like selling stuff, that would be really kind of crazy for Disney to have to deal with. But like, if you can only get one incarnation of Captain America up in public domain, like, is that going to make a huge difference?
That would be confusing as hell. When it comes to branding, yes, because then anybody would be able to use Mickey Mouse as their mascot. Anyone would be able to, but only one version
of Mickey Mouse.
Right, but to the general public, it would confuse them, and that's what Disney is really afraid of. That people might see that Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse maybe in an animated porno, and people would go, well, Mickey Mouse is associated with Disney, so that means Disney endorsed this, and this offends me. That it comes down to confusion.
Isn't that enough reason to justify allowing them to keep it? If, say, Disney has a wholesome image with kids, and then somebody's dad leaves Mickey Mouse porn on, is that not going to be detrimental? Could that not possibly ruin part of their business?
No, like, I don't think they should get a complete monopoly for what could happen, because anything could happen. Perhaps a company that truly speaks to children makes a Mickey Mouse version, and that also gets associated with Disney, and it emboldens them. That could happen too, right?
Yeah.
But they only look at the negative aspects, such as like how we mentioned Toho is incredibly litigious. They'll sue anyone that even has something that looks remotely like Godzilla. They will sue over. So the public domain should be for all of us to use. Everybody should be able to use it to show these movies, maybe re-edit these movies, use them in another context, use sound clips from them without fear of 20th Century Fox trying to crush you for using a sound clip from Aliens, things like that. The public domain should be for everybody. And yeah, what happens, happens. You can't say, well, Disney should retain their copyright on this for a ridiculous long period of time in case something bad might happen. Isn't that kind of...
Children.
Well, I think it could be a matter of, it's not if, but when, because somebody will try and do something because that's the way people are. And isn't it easier for them to retain that copyright than to have to go back and fight something in court later because there's some sort of defamation issue going on? It's easier. Obviously, it's not necessarily right, but I can kind of understand where they're coming from with wanting to retain their copyrights.
You've had your time. You've had enough time to create your image, your property, your brand. Now it belongs to all of us, or should belong to all of us, and we get to do with it what we will. Honestly, yes, there's going to be people that would make Mickey Mouse porn. 99% of people that would use the Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse would not. There's always going to be the one person who wants to debase something. I can't deny that. I can't get around that. But at the same time, 130 years, that's ridiculous to me. Your thoughts?
I don't know. It doesn't seem that ridiculous to me. I think it just, for me, the ridiculousness level all just depends on the branding. And like, because there's some, you know, crappy old monster movies that nobody really cares about, and why should anybody hold on to that for so long? But then again, there's something so ingrained and iconic like Mickey Mouse, and like, I don't necessarily know that I want other people other than Disney having control over that character, because somebody's going to fuck then, it up.
But if you legislate that, are you not, with what you just said, legislating taste and not product? Because you're saying we should let these old crappy monster movies no one cares about fall into the public domain, but not this one thing. What you're talking about there is legislating taste, then.
Well, I mean, that's just my personal opinion, though. I would never suggest that we actually do that. I'm just saying, like, for me, it makes sense to do this and not that, but I'm not saying that we should in any way do that, because that would not be fair at all. My thoughts are, if you're still making money off of it, I don't personally think it should go into the public domain. But the way that it's so narrowly put, like saying only this particular version of Captain America, that's just too fucking confusing for me. Something like that, like, I don't know, man. This is just like way over my head kind of shit.
Let these things out, guys. They should be in the public domain, and we should all be able to play with them. I'm not going to be alive in 2053. You're not going to be alive in 2053, most likely. None of us are going to be alive to see any of these things hit the public domain, and that's assuming it doesn't get extended yet again. I think it's just it's a euphemism for corporate greed.
That is for sure. That we can agree on. Other than like not feeling quite informed enough to have a whole well-rounded opinion of it, I will agree to some extent. I'm very much the kind of person who likes to handle things on a case-by-case basis. This is why I could never be a lawmaker, because I'm terrible at it. But I kind of agree for the most part that this stuff should become public domain and people should be able to use it. I do worry what would happen if a lot of stuff that is particularly iconic does become public domain, but chances are we probably won't ever get there, because the corporations will probably just keep making extensions.
Well, even if you don't know whether Nerd of the Third is copyrighted at all, where can people find that and you?
You can find me on twitter.com/labyrinthcat, and you can find me on facebook.com/nerdistcat, and you can find my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, your one-stop shop for all things nerdy and awesome, on thatguywiththeglasses.com under the podcast tab.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And you can also find me at geekjuicemedia.com. Have a good night, guys.
This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. We'll be right back.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.